Revelation chapter 16, verse 16, we'll finish this section today. Chapter 16, verses 12 through 16. Just going to read the verse 16. This is the reading of God's word. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, how we desperately need your word. Your word is the only thing that would make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Just like the first creation is by your word, the new creation is also by your word. We thank you that you are so faithful in giving us your word. Grant us an ear to truly hear your voice through your word. And by your voice, by your word, let us continue to wake up and seek your Son's return. Oh, Father, receive all the glory and pour out your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 16 says, and they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. We are looking at the sixth bowl judgment, which is also Armageddon war. And there are a few things that we must remind ourselves as we finish this section. First thing is that the church is the true Israel. And the book of Revelation is written telling us what will happen to church, but written in terms of Old Testament Israel, because the church is the true Israel. And because all these things that is happening is already foretold, prophesied in the Old Testament about the church. The New Testament church is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Israel. And the second thing that we must understand is this Armageddon war is a spiritual war, not involving the earthly nation Israel, but heavenly true Israel, which is the church. And our verse starts with, they gathered them. Who is doing this gathering? Well, we saw this before, so just let me remind you. Three unclean spirits like frogs. Three unclean spirits. And they're coming out of the mouth of the dragon, who is Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, the worldly nations, their unbelieving kings and their unbelieving people, a political beast. And out of the mouth of the false prophet, false church, false religion, false teachers, worldly philosophies, false knowledge. These unclean spirits come out of the mouths of dragon, the beast, and the false prophet through false signs and wonders and false teachings. They deceive the nations. The whole world is deceived. World meaning not including the elect. So it's a spiritual war, and Satan and his two beasts are gathering the whole world to attack the church. And we saw this throughout history. Ever since Jesus' first coming, this world is gathering their forces against the church. Now, we're not talking about, you know, tanks and jet, you know, fighter jets attacking the church. No, these spirits come out of their mouths. It's a communication form, meaning false teachings, false knowledge. Yes, Satan is working very hard, especially in our education institutions. Yes, your secular teachers will teach you that there is no God. You and I, we came from monkeys. And it comes with an authority. See, whenever you see a textbook, you feel, whoa, that book has authority. It's telling you the truth, huh? No. Those textbooks are written by non-Christians who does not believe in God. This is happening all over the world, throughout history. And what Bible tells us is that at the end, right before Jesus comes, this gathering will be so big and great, the church will truly suffer. Bible describes as church dying. At that time, and that time is pretty near, if you confess Jesus Christ, you will not even be able to get a job, do business. It already happens in certain secular institutions. You know, high schools, if you're a teacher and talk about Jesus Christ, you get fired. It's already happening, you guys. Freedom of religion except Christianity. See, everything else is okay. You could talk about Buddha, they don't care. But once you talk about Jesus Christ, you get fired. Isn't that interesting? Yes. All gather at the place called Armageddon to attack the church. Again, it is not a physical war. They are not attacking the church with tanks and fighter jets. They are attacking the church with false teachings. But the world will be deceived by this, and they will join forces together to attack the truth. And it happens. I mean, if you could ask your grandpa or grandma who are Christian, and just ask how the world changed last 60 years, you will understand what this Bible is speaking of. This world is attacking the church, it got more fierce than ever. And it will get worse, according to the Bible. But this Armageddon war is not something we should be afraid of, because it is, after all, God's judgment upon the world. Why are we afraid of that war if that is God's judgment? And it is. It is God's way of judging the world. He actively allows these gatherings. The same gathering is described in chapter 19 and chapter 20, But let us go to chapter 20. It might help us to understand this gathering much better. Chapter 20, verse 7. It's speaking of that same gathering. Chapter 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are completed, meaning that church age is now over, and I don't know when that will be. I hope it's very quickly coming. But when that 1,000 years are complete, then Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And you see very concise form of that gathering here. Satan is gathering the worldly forces to attack the church. But that's the end. When that happens, it says, the fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. Jesus' second coming. And this gathering that we're reading about in chapter 16, verse 16, was prophesied even from Old Testament. We have already looked at Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. But Zechariah also speaks of this gathering. Let me read a few verses from that. Zechariah chapter 12 and Zechariah chapter 14. Let me read to you first. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. I will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. So he talks about a day when God will allow this gathering to attack Jerusalem, and understand Old Testament is a type which looks forward to the reality. So Jerusalem is a heavenly Jerusalem in today's day. And go to chapter 14, verse 2. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the woman ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. So understand the Old Testament prophecies. You have two stages of fulfillment. Immediate fulfillment within the Old Testament that actually happens to the nation Israel. But that is pointing to the true reality during Jesus when he comes and what happens in his day. So always when you look at the Old Testament prophecies, then you will have two stages of fulfillment. When God says, David, you will build me a house for me, temple, and your son will build it. First stage of fulfillment, David's physical son, Solomon, builds a physical temple in Israel. That's the first stage of fulfillment. But that first stage of fulfillment points to the second stage of fulfillment, the final stage of fulfillment, Jesus Christ, who is Son of David. And he builds not physical temple, but heavenly temple. So you must understand that whenever you read the Old Testament, you will have the first stage of fulfillment within Israel. But you will have also the final stage of fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back to our passage then. Armageddon. Now, in Hebrew, it's called Armageddon. Now, we need to understand this word, Armageddon. What does it mean? Well, we kind of understand this word by looking at other passages that John writes that has Hebrew words. It seems like whenever he uses Hebrew word, he also provides the meaning in the same verse. Let's go to John, because Revelation is written by John. So if you go to the book of John, we have the same person who is writing. John chapter 19, verse 13. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. So Gabbatha means pavement. In Hebrew, Gabbatha. Go to 19:17. John 19:17. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. In Hebrew, it's Golgotha, but what does it mean? The verse provides the meaning. It means skull. One more place, chapter 20, verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Again, Rabboni, a Hebrew word, but he provides a meaning. If he is truly consistent with this, then we'll get some idea of what this word means, Armageddon. First, now, the first thing that we need to say is that Hebrew word har, you know, the front prefix of this Armageddon, har means mountain. That we know for sure. Har is mountain. And Megeddon, if we follow this reasoning, then it means gathering. It means a gathering or an assembly. Thus, Armageddon is a mountain of gathering or mountain of assembly. So Armageddon war is, if truly, literally means mountain of gathering war. And it fits by just understanding what is happening, that these evil forces are gathering at a mountain, Har. Now let us understand then what is going on. Why is Satan gathering his forces on a mountain? Isaiah 14. Now you need to keep up with me here. Isaiah 14, verse 13 and 14. But you said in your heart, it's talking about Satan. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mountain of assembly. There you go, there's that mountain of assembly. In the recess of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will make myself like the Most High. So what Satan is saying to himself is that I will sit on the mountain of assembly and act like he is God. But the mountain of assembly is where? At the recess of north. Literally, Zaphon. Now, you know, you don't need to know this. Zaphon, that's the word. So mountain of assembly is equal to Zaphon. Go to Psalm, keep that in mind, and go to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Psalm 48, verse 1 and 2. Great is the Lord, and greatly be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion in the far north. That word far north, that phrase is same thing, Zaphon. So, if we put these two verses together, Isaiah 14 and Psalm 48, then the Mount of Assembly is Zaphon, but Zaphon is Mount Zion. So Mount of Assembly is equal to Mount Zion. Mount Zion, where God's people are gathered. So Mount Zion, or the God's holy mountain. Thus, the Mount of Assembly or Harmageddon is Mount Zion. The mountain of gathering by God's holy people. And we saw this already in Revelation. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and name of his Father written on their forehead. So when we look at heaven, what do we see? We see Mount Zion, and on it, what happens? God and his people are gathered. Mount Zion is Harmageddon, mountain of gathering. So Harmageddon or Armageddon, you know, some English version will say Armageddon rather than Harmageddon. But in Hebrew, it's Harmageddon. So then, let's put this thing together then. What is happening in 16, verse 16? Well, this Harmageddon is the false mountain of gathering, or false Zion. And this is consistent with what we saw already, Satan mimicking God. We saw a false Trinity. We saw a false resurrection. And here we see a false Harmageddon, false Mount Zion. So, just like God, what is God doing? We could describe God's work as many ways, but we could say what? God is gathering his people on Mount Zion. That's what we could say, right? Throughout history, what is God doing? He's gathering his people at Mount Zion, heavenly Mount Zion. And Satan is gathering his people at Harmageddon also, but it's a false one. Here, Satan again mimics God's true Mount Zion, the true mountain of gathering. Actually, we saw this so many times. Satan mimics God in everything. But all of them are false. God's ultimate purpose is to judge Satan and all of his followers and gather his people in heavenly Mount Zion to live with him, God, live with them, God and his people forever and ever. So heaven is Mount Zion. Heaven is a Harmageddon. See, we use that word in so many wrong ways today. Harmageddon just means Mount of Gathering. It's a good word. Heaven is Harmageddon. Now, let us study the history of Harmageddon war then. We go back to the Garden of Eden, Garden of Eden. The Bible teaches that the Garden of Eden also had a mountain in it. Ezekiel 28. Let's go there together. Ezekiel 28. Just stay with me here. It will all make sense at the end, like always. Ezekiel 28, verse 13 and 14. Also, talking about evil king, but ultimately it is talking about Satan himself. Verse 13, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Ruby, topaz, and the diamond, beryl, and onyx, and the jasper, lapis lazuli, the turquoise, the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day you were created, they were prepared. So this figure was in Eden. But verse 14 says, you were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. Now, if you put verse 13 and 14 together, you were in Eden, the garden of God. But 14 says, but you were on the mountain of God, holy mountain of God. So, garden of Eden was Armageddon. The garden of Eden, the holy mountain of God. Thus, we are able to conclude that there was a mountain in the Garden of Eden. The Bible also tells us of many rivers in the Garden of Eden. And if you have a river, it has to flow from higher ground to lower ground. And that also shows us that there was a mountain in the Garden of Eden. Not that we needed that. Ezekiel 28 is sufficient. And that place is where Adam and Eve met God. A place of worship, if you will. A gathering mountain, Armageddon. Just like you and me, where are we gathered? We are gathered at the Armageddon mountain of gathering, which is heavenly Jerusalem. Do you understand? That we now are gathered on Armageddon, Mount Zion. And Satan is mimicking that. Now, in the Garden of Eden, at the holy mountain of God, we see the first Armageddon war. Satan comes to Adam and Eve to deceive them with lies. That is the very first Armageddon war in history. Of course, even before that, there was a war in heaven. But we're not going to count that for today's message. But earthly Armageddon war, the very first one was at the Garden of Eden. Satan comes to attack Adam and Eve. Not with fists or any weapons, but again, false lies. Just like what is going on today. The whole world is attacking church, not with weapons, but lies. And so many people are being deceived. So, at the very first Armageddon war, Satan comes. God told Adam and Eve, Genesis 2 verse 15, then the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate or to work it and keep it. The same command of God to the holy priest to keep the temple holy. You cultivate and you keep. Because it is Armageddon. You need to protect the Armageddon from the enemy's attack. And that's exactly what Christ and Heaven OPC is doing. We're protecting the Armageddon. We gather to worship our God. This church is a micro version of Armageddon. And our job is to cultivate it and keep it. We need to protect it from Satan's attack. Now, as you know, Adam was defeated. Adam was called to judge between good and evil, and with good must judge Satan and cast him out, but he was defeated. The very first Armageddon war, the Satan was victorious. Thus, rather than casting out Satan from that Armageddon, Adam was casted out. But thank God, the Armageddon war is not over. The Armageddon war continues. And the whole redemptive history in the Bible is about this Armageddon war. It continues until Jesus Christ, his victory in the final Armageddon war. Do you understand what the Bible is all about? And in Genesis, you see the very first Armageddon war. And in the passage that we're looking at in Revelation 16 and beyond, all the way to Revelation 20, we're looking at the final Armageddon war. But the first time, Satan was victorious. But ultimately, Jesus Christ is victorious. And in between Genesis and Revelation, what do you have? You have history of this war. That's what you have. This is very important for you to understand. What is the Bible about? In the Old Testament, we see this war in a type. And in the New Testament, we see the ultimate Armageddon war in which our Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. So all the war in Old Testament between Israel and their enemy is a type, is shadow, is pointing to the true Armageddon war. It's a redemptive history. Yeah, the world will never accept this. The world will say, no, there were some other reasons why they went to war. You know, there are all kinds of reasons they will give you why these two nations go to war. But understand, in the Old Testament, when Israel was involved in a war, it was a type. It was a revelation. God revealing through that war. But when Jesus came, after that, the world war, when two nations go to war, it's not revelation. That is God's judgment. You have to understand the difference here. Oh, I pray that you will understand this. Man, Bible makes perfect sense. It's so amazing. And everything is happening according to this book. Now we go to Noah. Armageddon war continues in a type fashion. The ark. Aha! Ark is a place of gathering. Two by two, God gathers. The ark rests at the top of Mount Ararat. There you go. Ark and that mountain at are resting on the top of that mountain. What do you have? Armageddon. And what happens? The world is judged. The world is defeated by God. And Noah and his family are given the new heaven and new earth in a type fashion. That was Armageddon war. Noah's flood was Armageddon war. At the top of the mountain, the altar is erected. And there, God was with them. God was with Noah's family. But all was a type, earthly type, pointing to the heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes. Now you go to Abraham, and this is very, very important, because in Abraham, we have the whole history in the Old Testament. Listen very carefully. Abraham was promised by God, what? The kingdom. But in order for there to be a kingdom, you need three things. Land, you need land. Otherwise, there is no kingdom. You need people. Otherwise, there is no kingdom. You need king. Otherwise, there is no kingdom. So, God makes Abraham a promise. I will establish a kingdom. And through Moses and Joshua, God fulfills that promise in the Old Testament, the land and the people. Through Moses and Joshua, there was people. Israel was born. And there was land. Joshua conquers the land of Canaan. And through David, then, the king is given. So, Davidic covenant, Mosaic covenant, is fulfilling Abrahamic covenant. That God, what God promises Abraham, he, through Moses and through David, he fulfills it. But it's immediate first stage fulfillment. First stage fulfillment points to the final stage for fulfillment. Land in Jesus Christ, land is heaven. In Jesus Christ, people are the church. And in Jesus Christ, he is the king. There you go. There's the final fulfillment of the kingdom that God promised Abraham. In Genesis 12, 13, and 15, and 17, God promises Abraham people and kingdom. People and the king and the land, he promises Abraham. The whole thing is Armageddon war. The world is judged and the people are gathered at the Armageddon. Through Moses, through Joshua, Pharaoh and his army, and the people of Canaan are judged. God's enemy is judged. And the people of God are gathered first to Mount Sinai and later to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. The whole Old Testament history is a Armageddon war. Now, if you don't get what I'm saying, meet me separately, you know, individually. I explain it more. We need to go on. Do you see it when you see the whole history of the Old Testament? What is God doing? He is defeating the enemy who are gathering to attack Israel. He's defeating the enemy. But he's also gathering his people in Jerusalem, the temple, which was at the Mount Zion. But this is a type. This is earthly version of it. But Jesus Christ now completes it, fulfills it. Old Testament history points to the ultimate Armageddon reality. Even as they gather in the temple in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, earthly Mount Zion, they're shadowing the heavenly reality that Jesus Christ will accomplish later. And you and I, we are the fulfillment of all that history. We are God's people who are gathered at heavenly Mount Zion. Armageddon. Yeah, you could call Christ and Heaven OPC Armageddon Church. Literally, it's true. Jesus Christ then, the second Adam, at the Garden of Gethsemane, which was at the Mount of Olives, according to Luke chapter 22, 39. Now, we come to Jesus Christ. See, very first Armageddon war, Satan was victorious at the Garden of Eden, at the Armageddon. But here in Mount Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, which was on the Mount of Olives, at that place now, Jesus, the second Adam, is fighting with Satan. But in the Garden of Eden, first Adam obeyed the Satan. But at the Garden of Gethsemane, the second Adam judged Satan and cast him out. He did not obey Satan. And he calls out to God, "Not my will, but yours will be done." See, first Adam said, "My will be done." Second Adam says, "No, not my will, but your will be done." And he, with that, he bore our sins and dies on the cross, but resurrects from the dead to completely defeat the Satan and his final weapon, death. On the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you see the death of death. Death is dead for you and for me. Even the reality of his victory is seen in two stages. In his resurrection, we already see his victory. But in his second coming, the whole world will see him victory, his victory visibly. Yes, Jesus Christ truly kept the true Armageddon, holy Armageddon. Do you understand? And you are the witness of this reality. As you confess to everybody that we are gathered at Mount Zion, heavenly Mount Zion, to worship our God, as we saw this in chapter 15, chapter 14, how God's people are gathered at Mount Zion to worship our God, you understand that Armageddon war is over spiritually and will be over visibly when Jesus Christ comes back. And we live to witness this. You need to show to the whole world that you have been gathered, not the fake Armageddon, but you have been gathered at the true Armageddon, which is heavenly Mount Zion. You do not belong to this world if you are God's child. This is why our religion cannot be accepted by non-Christians. Just can't. Because it is foolishness to them. It's just foolishness. Yeah, our job is not to go out and convince non-Christians. We don't have any power to do that. Our job is to proclaim the truth. Whether they accept or not is up to them. God is not going to tell us why you did not make that person Christian. No, he's not going to tell us that. But he will tell us why you did not tell him about the gospel. That he will take you accountable. Your job is to tell the gospel, spread the gospel. Whether they accept or not is not your job. But you have to tell the truth, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go out to the ends of the world to spread this gospel, what is God doing? He's gathering his people. Armageddon. You don't belong to this fake Armageddon, 1616. But you belong to true Armageddon, Mount Zion, heavenly one. And remember, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the Armageddon war is the judgment of God for this sinful world. It is not something that you and I should fear. Yes, the whole world is attacking the church, but the whole world will be judged. And the seventh bowl judgment, which you will see next Lord's Day, will show this judgment. Oh yeah, it is fierce judgment of God, the final judgment of God. As three unclean spirits like frog gathers the world at the false Armageddon, you and I are gathered at the true Armageddon, the heavenly Zion. This is what you must see. And Bible is full of this imagery. How on Mount Zion our Lord is standing with his people. Even as we worship him, that is our reality. Do you remember? Let me just remind you. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Chapter 15, verse 2 says, and I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who have been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God, and they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb. This is our heavenly reality, even right now. Now, at the second coming, this reality will be visibly consummated. Let me read a couple of verses and we'll finish today. Matthew chapter 34. No, that cannot be 34. There is no Matthew 34. Matthew 14. No. I'm at the mark. Matthew 24. Sorry. Matthew 24, verse 30. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the cloud of the sky with power and great glory. And what would happen at that time when Jesus returns? He will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. When Jesus returns, Armageddon is consummated. All will be gathered unto God's glorious holy mount. But thank God that even that day has not come yet. Spiritually, that is our reality. Spiritually, we are already gathered in that glorious place. Yes, there is war. But this war is already have won by Jesus Christ. Now they will fiercely attack the church, but even that, it's God's way of gathering them to be judged. But if this is true, then you understand how the church life will be. When the whole world attacks, the life of church will not be easy. And there are many people in the church who will be deceived by the Satan and go out to the world. But truly elect will remain. Will remain faithful to the word. Not that we're not going to sin. Of course we will sin. But ultimately, by God's grace, you will remain as citizens of the other world. Glorious ending to the whole history. You know, the message of the book of Revelation in one word or one phrase: God wins. God wins. That's the message. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you treat us as your sons, for you have told us that slaves do not know what the master is doing. But by giving us the Bible, you are not treating us as your slaves, but your sons. For we know what you are doing. You have told us. And it is glorious. And Father, we pray to imitate Jesus Christ, that your will be done in our lives, in the life of your church. Oh, Father, in Jesus Christ, let us cultivate and keep the true Armageddon, the glorious, holy mountain of God, where we have been gathered even now. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.